One of the guys I was talking with this week was talking about how he's up to his 60th country he's visited. So keeping track of your passports and all the countries you've been to. Anybody else close to 60? Ooh, that's a lot. Yeah, I was trying to count. I think I hit 20-ish in the whole course of my life. But I tend to hop from country to country as we're an international church, coming and going from all over the world and coming. In fact, we brought Micah back just because of insurance, but got him back from the States all the way to Macedonia. Medical tourism at its best. And we get to see a lot of things, go a lot of places. One of those aspects of this church, this group that binds us together, is the experience of going and coming and seeing what's happening around the world. In fact, even though we do it because we get the chance and sometimes the opportunity, the migrants coming through here have something similar, only they don't get the passport stamps because they're just traveling through. Tuesday was about 300 on the train. Friday, when the group was there, it was 600. And then they get to the next border and try and sneak their way across and get returned one or two or 10 times until they finally make it to the next border and try again. So they actually have the really hard side of things. That's at least one way we can help is giving them food. This week, last week, 2 weeks now, we'll keep going forward. But in all of this, it's kind of that next step. Keep thinking about what's in front of you. The next country in this context, the next travel date that's out there, or whether it's broader than that, the next step in life, the next phase of life that's in front of us as we go through this journey that God has in front of us. As we look at it in that context, we kind of have this idea of movement, of people moving on. One of my high school friends actually has an email address. She works for the State Department. At that time, she wasn't, but her email address is Global Nomad. I won't tell you at, because then you could write her and tell her I was talking about her. Global Nomad, and that really fits a lot of our mentality. We're always moving forward, going on to the next place, and seeing what's out there. And as we're finishing up this book of Luke, and today actually is the ending, one more week of next week together, but we're finishing up finally after a whole calendar, not calendar, school year, from September 1st till now, this book of Luke, we're finishing it up, we're getting to this point of passing it on, this next step. So we're not talking about another country here, although we are taking it to the nations, according to this next verse here, but we're taking on this message that we've been listening to week after week, the life of Christ, from his birth through his ministry, serving through his death and his resurrection. We're taking this whole thing, and now it's the next step of passing this message on. And so the author of this book, Luke, is bringing us to the very end of this portion that he's writing and giving us this encouragement that we now have this opportunity to take our place, to pass it on. Let's pray. Father God, as we look at Scripture today, these holy words, these words that came to us, pray that they would change us today. These words are given to us as a guide, but they're also living words, words that speak within us, because they're given from you, the living God. So we come this morning expecting to learn, expecting to hear from you, and to be changed. So speak. We're willing, we're ready. Jesus' name. Amen. We find ourselves today in Luke chapter 24. So if you find the Gospel of Luke, it's in the New Testament, it's the third Gospel of the four. We're in the very last chapter and the last few verses. We're going to pick it up in verse 44. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So, at the start here, verse 44, Jesus tells them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. This is what is written. Yes, everything must be fulfilled. So we have in this concept here that Jesus is giving them this last pep talk, this last reminder of everything that has gone on. And he's taking us, actually, as a story, to the very beginning of this book. Because in the beginning of Luke, we find out that Luke had a purpose for writing this whole thing. So we'll go back quickly to chapter 1 of Luke. And Luke tells us in the very beginning, verse 1, many have undertaken to draw up an account of these things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants. So with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I've decided to write you an orderly account to you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. So from the beginning to the end, Luke and Jesus saying it in Luke is saying, I'm reminding you of these things you've heard so that you can know that they're true, that you can stand on these, that you believe them. But Jesus also says here in these verses that everything must be fulfilled. And then he labels these three places he's referring to. The law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. That includes the whole Old Testament. So basically he's saying, if you look in the Old Testament, you'll find me. If you look in the Old Testament, it's talking about my life. If you look in the Old Testament, you're going to see it talks about my death, talks about my resurrection, talks about repentance in Jesus' name going to the world, going to everyone. So Jesus is reminding his disciples here, his last few days, his time with them, this is why I came, for this message to go forth. One of the things that Luke reminded us that Jesus was fulfilling from those Old Testament scriptures is in chapter 4. This was way long ago, but let me read these verses in chapter 4. Jesus, when he was talking to the people in the synagogue in Nazareth, said this, chapter 4, verse 18. Unrolling the prophet Isaiah, Jesus found what is written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down and said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus intentionally fulfilled prophecy. He fulfilled prophecy in so many different ways. And he's coming here at the end of this book saying, it's done. I fulfilled it. This is the truth. So first of all, in this passing on, we realize that everything is fulfilled. In the next verses, though, we actually find out what Jesus is specifically referring to when he says, it's been fulfilled. In the next verse, it says this. This is what is written. I like it when the authors tell you specifically. If you're doing a study for a test and the professor says, this is what's going to be on the test. What do you do? You study. This is what's going to be on the test. So here the author tells us. So Jesus says, this has all been fulfilled. What's written about me? This is what's written right here. Messiah, the anointed one, will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, starting in Jerusalem. Three things. First of all, the Messiah will suffer. This was foretold in the scriptures. It was told Jesus went to the cross and he died. When you're talking about this message that is given to us here, this is step one. Jesus died on the cross. The second point here, and the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead. So he will suffer and he will rise again. The resurrection is critical to our faith. Without the resurrection, our faith is foolishness. If the resurrection did not happen, there's no reason for us to be here today. The Apostle Paul says it's better to go out and live whatever life you want rather than binding yourself to these tenets of obedience because it's foolishness unless it's true. Jesus died and he rose again on the third day. And the third point, Repentance will be preached in his name for the forgiveness of sins. We speak that life comes from Christ Jesus. Forgiveness, the separation that we have from God, the death in our relationship with God is taken away in Jesus' name. Repentance, turning away from the sin, turning away from my self-centered life, and receiving what Christ himself has given me. This is what Jesus said was prophesied and fulfilled in him. He is the Messiah, Jesus, the Anointed One. This is a talking about himself. He would suffer and die and be raised again, and forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all nations, starting in Jerusalem. To all nations. That's where we get to join in this picture. I was talking about these verses with somebody this week who doesn't have much background in the Bible, didn't know how to study, and asking, so who is it that's supposed to receive this message? Who is it taking this message? So there's two questions there. Who's the audience, and then who is the person speaking to the audience? Preach in his name. So somewhere in the world, the nations need to hear. And there's only two sides of this equation. There's somebody preaching and there's someone listening. So until you've heard, or until you've listened to this message, you need to hear. Somebody needs to preach to you. Once you've heard, you cross the line, you start believing, you become this spokesperson. Next verse, it says, you are witnesses of these things. So either you're listening to this and trying to understand, is it true? Does it apply to me? Am I going to believe this message, these three things about Christ? Or I believe it and I'm a witness to these things. Again, if we're looking at the book as a whole, Luke in his writing of this is taking this very, very seriously, because he says, again, in verse 1, just as these have been handed down to us, from those who were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So Luke himself, the author of this book, has received the eyewitness account that's being talked about here. And he's saying, so I thought I'll write this down and tell you about it. I'm going to witness to you about this. I'm going to tell you what I know. Luke is taking this again around and around and around. In fact, that's what continues through history. To the nation. It started in Jerusalem, the first apostles. As they heard this message, they waited, they received what was promised to them, the Holy Spirit, and then they went out. They first went to the next nearest place, to Samaria. They went from there to the next countries around them until Paul, at the end of the book of Acts, makes it to Rome, the center of the empire. We also know it scattered to India and other directions around as well. But they were serious about their task that Jesus gave them here, that all the nations would hear. And today, actually, the nations are coming to us. The nations are coming to Macedonia, and we get to see them as they pass through and stop and become a part of our fellowship, or just keep on moving through. But you are witnesses of these things. He's talking specifically here to those around him, the immediate disciples, the apostles, those that have been following him. Luke picks up that message and says, now I've heard it. Now I've seen this. I've seen the change in my life. I've seen the change in lives. I'm passing this on. We have the opportunity here, a few years later, to pick up the same message, to take the same message to the nations, so that all nations hear. So we kind of wonder, as we travel, we go through life as nomads, going from place to place, sometimes settling for a year or two before moving on, sometimes staying for a long time, some of us never moving. But we have this mindset that this life is continuing on, always another place. But according to this, if the message is going on and we have this message to take out, it's not an aimless wandering. It's not a bidding for the next place to see where I might end up. We're actually intentional about this. So rather than seeing ourselves this morning as these nomads going from place to place, whatever comes next, it might be better for us to look at ourselves more as pilgrims. Last year, the kids heard the story of Pilgrim's Progress and his journey. But as a pilgrim, we're someone who has a goal in mind, even a holy place that we are heading. Not necessarily a pilgrimage that we're all going to visit Jerusalem, although that would be a cool thing to do, but a pilgrimage of where our life is ending up, the eternal city in heaven. We have this message to tell people that our Savior suffered, rose again, and there's forgiveness for our sins in his name, which leads us in our journey to heaven, leads us into a relationship with him. It puts our life, rather than an aimless nomad wandering, looking for the next place to feed and eat and take care, it takes us from that kind of a mindset of going through life pointless, aimlessly, trying to fill our own needs, putting our life on a path to something specific. Our life going towards heaven. Our life going towards godliness. Because we can still wander through this life. We still take turns in the road that we aren't expecting. We still end up in places we never would have expected. But in that going, we have purpose of taking this message to other people. Intentionally talking about the change in our lives because of the Savior that we serve. You are witnesses of these things. So I challenge you this morning that we shouldn't really have a choice. It's really been given to us to go and do. But we still take it back to the point that we have to realize this is for me. The message this morning is not for paid clergy, paid missionaries, paid people to go and do this task. This task is for each one of us, wherever God has put us in this journey of life. We go to different circles, we see different people, and everywhere we go, we're taking this message to the nations, to the people we need to hear. Christ came, he walked with people. Much of his life was spent eating and drinking, being with people, where they were at. So much so that people accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard because he went to where people were to be a part of their lives. Let's go into people's lives. Invite them into our homes. Be invited to their homes because Christ is with us. One intentional part of this, we talk about week after week here, being Christ's hands and his feet. Yeah? Hands? All right. Hands and his feet. We serve, right? We go. We go to the train station. We hand out food. We've helped out people along the way. But we're hands and feet. We're also his voice. In our going, we need to speak what this is truly about. Finding those opportunities to speak very clearly. These 3 points. What's written, what's been prophesied, what's been fulfilled. Christ will suffer, he'll rise again, and there's forgiveness of sins in his name. Each one of us can do that. You don't need a class on how to share our faith. Share your life and include these 3 points. How has been a part of you? What's happened to you? Just make sure you got it. Turn to somebody and tell them these 3 points. All right. This is not looking at me now. Find somebody nearby. What are the 3 points that are included here? Just so you've spoken them out loud and you can remember them. Turn around. Find somebody. What are those 3 points? I'm listening. What are they? Susanna, speak them out. I heard you say that. You tried. All right. Okay. He suffered, he rose again, and there's forgiveness of sins in his name. That's it. We share this message in the context of our life, in our going, where to the nation. Because that's what's out there. Those are the people that need to hear. Sometimes they come through and they leave. Sometimes they're part of our life for years and years and years. But it's the same message. People need to see it. Because our lives are being changed. As we end this book, it says in verse 52, they worshiped him and return to Jerusalem with great joy. That theme of joy, it's through this whole book of Luke. When the angels appeared to Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were filled with joy. They were going to have a child. When the angel appeared to Mary and Jesus was born, they were filled with joy. This is a book of joy. Christ has come. God is with us. Even though here in this ending of the book of Luke, the disciples are returning without Jesus, they're still filled with joy. Why? Because they've been promised the Holy Spirit would come and be in them, the living God, living within his people. They were filled with joy. And they waited around. They waited in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit. And starting in September, as we come back together again, we're going to jump into the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. So we're going to continue with the same author into the next book. So in the month of August, you can do a reading ahead and find out what happens. As these disciples take this message and go, what they wrestled with, what they struggled with, but I think we're going to see in that their lives were radically affected because they had this message right here. They believed. They were willing to sacrifice everything to take this message to the nations. So let's do that. So our challenge this morning is to pass it on. To take what we know, to take what we've heard, to take what we've experienced in living our life in community with others, share the same message. To be hands, to be feet, to be the voice of our Savior. Let's pray. Father God, this book has worked in our lives this year. We've seen our Savior born. We've seen him do miracles. We've seen him face opposition. We've seen his death and his resurrection. And now today we read that our Savior returned to heaven with a promise that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And that promise has been fulfilled. Today we live our lives in this power. This power that is given to us by the Heavenly Father. Power that comes from God himself, the Spirit, living within us. So we take very seriously this morning this challenge, this command to be witnesses, to be spokesmen for the living God. Pray that you would give us eyes to see where we can go. You give us boldness to speak into those opportunities, and that this very simple message would be spoken. That our Savior died, was raised again, and offers forgiveness in his name. So Jesus, our Savior, we thank you. We thank you for your example that we are following day by day. We love you, Jesus.